Please be seated. So good to be with you here this morning. What a great joy to be with you. And I'd like to especially welcome any visitors who are here. This morning we'll be looking at Luke chapter 7. We'll be starting at verse 36. Before I read God's word, let us go to God in prayer. Dear Lord, we pray this morning that you would bless this reading of your holy word. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would illuminate our minds and give us understanding. We pray this in your name. Amen. Please listen to God's word. Now, one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume. And as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he canceled the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I come into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." This is the word of the Lord. Praise be to God. We see in this great gospel text a woman who is brokenhearted. She has a broken heart over her sins, and she goes to Jesus because of this, because she knows that Jesus can help her. She knows that Jesus is the friend of sinners. The context for this passage is what? What do we have here? We have a dinner party that this Pharisee throws. Why does the Pharisee throw this party and invite Jesus? Well, he invites Jesus not because he has pure motives, or he's not inviting Jesus to this party because he's respectful of Jesus, but he invites him because he's curious about Jesus, and it's curiosity in a negative fashion. This Pharisee thinks that Jesus is a questionable figure, so he's not really treating Jesus in the best way. In this passage, Luke is comparing two different people. He compares, on the one hand, this woman who's brokenhearted over her sin and goes to Jesus out of love. And on the other hand, we have this Pharisee, who is one of the, quote, religious authorities, one of the religious leaders. We have, on the one hand, this woman who becomes a forgiven sinner, and on the other hand, we have this self-righteous religious leader, this self-righteous man. The immoral woman knew Jesus was a friend of sinners and could forgive her sins. She comes to him seeking his free grace. And how does she come here? She knows that Jesus can help her with her sin. And how does she come, though? She comes not only brokenhearted, but she comes with great humility. She has great humility, and Luke really lifts that up here in this passage. And because she has great humility, she exhibits to Jesus great love. What Luke reveals to us in this passage is that a disciple of Jesus is someone who loves him. Think about our lives today. What do we place our love in? Do we have misplaced love? You know, we have different hobbies. Maybe we love our hobbies more than we love Jesus. Maybe we love our careers, our profession, more than we love Jesus. Maybe we love our families more than we love Jesus. Now, those all can be great things, but we can have misplaced love in our lives. And this passage reminds us that our love really needs to be in Christ. That's where we need to have love. So this morning, do we love Jesus? Think about this. Do we love him the way that we should love him? This woman understood. She was brokenhearted. She knew Jesus could help her and forgive her of her sins. And she goes to Jesus, understanding that she goes brokenhearted, and she receives his love and his forgiveness. And I want to say this morning that we need to have the same attitude as this woman. We need to love in the way that she loves. The next thing I think this passage can teach us, because, you know, if we just read this passage, we can read through it. But I think if we dig deeper, I think there's some real fruit to be gained, some insights that can help us. What else do we see this woman do here? We see her go to Jesus. We see her brokenhearted. We see her love Jesus. But what else does she do here? She goes with what? She goes with this alabaster jar full of perfume. Now, an alabaster jar is kind of like this multicolored marble jar, very, very expensive. The perfume inside, very expensive. Biblical commentators on this passage say that this type of item in biblical times would have been very, very expensive. Not quite 2 years of salary to buy this. So she comes with what? She comes with what to Jesus? She comes with her very best and gives her very best to him. We contrast that with the Pharisee. And what we see here with this Pharisee is what? He's not giving a whole lot to Jesus, right? Even though he's this religious authority, this religious leader, when you contrast his lack of giving with what she's doing, it's very vivid. I think we can be reminded by this morning that we too need to give sacrificially to Jesus. We need to give sacrificially in terms of our time, in terms of our possessions, in terms of our talents, and in terms of our money, in terms of our treasures. Are we, each one of us, giving to Jesus like this woman is giving to? It's okay. We appreciate it. Are we giving like she did? Are we giving our best? C.S. Lewis once said, "The only safe rule in Christian giving is to give more than you can spare." So we see here in this woman a sacrificial gift, and we need to model that type of giving in our lives as well. If we look at this passage, how does the Pharisee view this woman in the passage? How does he see her? He views her as a sinner, and he's even upset with Jesus. How can you be allowing this woman to touch your feet in this way? How can this be happening? The Pharisee was a person of stature. She was an outcast. And yet the Bible, even though this is the situation, even though they have this different status, so to speak, what does the Bible do here in this passage? He's a person of stature, she's an outcast, but what we see Luke doing here is lifting up her instead of him as being the more attractive person. Luke lifts this woman up as being more spiritual, even though she is a person who has a past. She's the one that's lifted up. She's the one that God's word calls us to look at, and we're supposed to model our lives after her. She is a great example to us. He is proud. He's proud of his religiosity. He's proud of all of his religious activities. And yet, she weeps over her sin. She is the one who's lifted up. She is the one who is greater in God's word and in God's sight. She has faith and she accepts God's forgiveness. In the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah, God's word lifts up. It says the brokenhearted is, that's what God likes. That's what he loves. The person who is brokenhearted, troubled over their own sin, and through that, God can transform a life. And he transforms this woman's life right here in Luke chapter 7. As we think about that in terms of our own lives, we too need to have broken hearts. And our broken hearts, Christianity starts with a broken heart and leads to joy when we understand what Christ has done for us. This morning, if you're struggling with God's mercy and forgiveness, think of these words from 1 John chapter 1. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In this passage, Jesus forgives this woman totally, completely, and we can be forgiven as well. But we must confess our sins and go to him. The other aspect of this passage, which I think is very important, is what do we have here in this passage? We see Jesus, and we see him attracting people who are marginal. We see him attracting people who are outcasts. We see him attracting people who don't seem to be very, you know, quote unquote, religious. And as we think about that in terms of our own lives today, we need to ask ourselves as the community of Christ, are we attracting people to this church, to this place of worship in the same way? Do people understand outside of these walls that you can come here and receive God's mercy and God's forgiveness? Are we communicating that to the outside world? Jesus was clearly communicating that, and we are called today to continue his mission. That's what the church exists to do, to continue the mission of Jesus. That is why we are here. And the goal for us as we think about this passage this morning in terms of reaching those who are outcasts in our world today is, are we being effective in this? And I want to call you this morning to be effective, to be a faithful witness despite all the obstacles that are in front of us. We are called to be on the offensive as Christians. We don't want to be offensive to people as we witness to them. That's not the goal. But we are called to be on the offensive, to execute God's holy plan, his mission in the world. Are we attracting people like Jesus attracted people? That's the question that we need to be wrestling with this morning as we leave this place. You know, we come here, this is kind of like the halftime, right? Where we encourage each other, we sing songs of praise to God. But as we go out, we have to live out our faith in the world, in our neighborhoods, in our workplace. That's where we are tested. That's where we really need to be faithful to Christ and honor him and glorify him. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we give you thanks for this great story from your holy word, which reminds us so much. Lord, we just know that many times our attendance at church, our participation in different church activities can cause us to even get off track. Lord, help us to remember this morning that we need to turn to You each day and that we need to witness for You. Lord, as we think of the Pharisee in this passage, help us not to be hypocritical. And Lord, where we have fallen short in this, Lord, we repent this morning. Help us not to be hypocrites, but help us to live for You and help us to glorify You and help us to attract people outside of these walls to You and to the life-transforming power of Your good news. Lord, we pray that You would renew our spirits this morning to serve You in our community and in the world. And Lord, we give You thanks for faithful believers in Korea and China who in the midst of great opposition are sharing Your good news. We give You thanks for believers in the Middle East who despite great persecution are witnessing to unbelievers in those places. Lord, may their witness be a model to us. May their witness inspire us as we leave here this morning. Lord, we pray all this in Your name. Amen.